You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Many things to chat about, Don, but luckily, seeing as we run the podcast, we can take our time into chatting about all of them.
Now, I think first just, of all, can I just correct you? You used the plural, we.
Yeah, what?
I think you should have gone singular, I.
So you're not going to be part of this?
No. I think you said we.
I said so many things to chat about, but seeing as we run the podcast...
Yeah, I run the podcast.
All right, seeing as I'm running it, yes. We're going to get through them all.
Right, good.
And you'll probably... for a start, now we're working on our own. I'm not sure this is a sign of the times, but we're working on our own. Dr. Ben MD, who said he'd come on last week because he couldn't come on last week at a time because we had to put it back due to... why did we put it back last... Oh, because I was... Yep, so...
Are we? Well, why did we put it back?
Because I was just coming out of hospital.
What's wrong?
Last week, you fool.
Well, what's wrong with you?
I had my shoulder operated.
Why wasn't this reported in the social pages by Fiona?
Well, it's because it's not important, Don.
Oh, it is, but she fills it up with other
it's
stuff.
It's not important. Got. So, and he couldn't come on last week, so he said he'd come on this week, and he... texted me and he said he can't come on, he didn't arrange his diary appropriately.
So he's not on this week, the doc?
No.
Well, anyway, tell me about the shoulder because I didn't read it about Fiona's column.
Not important, the shoulder.
It is.
And then Phoebe is not coming in either. She's texted me. I don't know if it's a coincidence because the doc's not on, but she wouldn't have known the doc's not on. But she can't come in because she's extremely busy, she said.
Doing what?
Exactly. So I'm not sure if this is a sign of the times because we're getting a bit edgy with some of the content. I don't know if that's the case or not, you wait. We'll be getting edgy later on. No,
you'll get edgy.
I'll be getting edgy. Don't worry about this, Don, and for very, very good reason. And thirdly, I had organised, or someone we had organised to interview a man today called Asim Malhotra. He is a
cardiac
doctor.
Yeah, I know him.
Well, you know him.
Yeah, he's a cardiac...
Cardiologist. And he is on about the vaccine and the damage it might do to athletes and having heart attacks, and he's a dietitian.
He came from New Delhi. He was born in New Delhi,
yes,
wasn't he?
Good. Well done, Don.
And migrated to England with his family, is that right?
Very good.
Yeah, and what's he doing in Australia?
Well, he's around lecturing
on
the... I was about to tell you, Don. That's one of your annoying habits. When I say, I said he's here lecturing you on, and you said about what?
I
was about to tell you what he was lecturing on. He's lecturing on the risks of the COVID vaccine on athletes and the increased likelihood of heart attacks because of it, and he has a controversial dietitian. He was responsible for the Piopi diet. I think it's an Italian thing about the Mediterranean diet, and it's about, and he has, so he's he has called in ill, or he's not,
no.
Maybe he hasn't been following his diet, I don't know. But he was going to come down, and he was getting off a plane at 9:30 this morning and going to come straight to this place here where we do this, and he's ill. Oh. I presume he's ill. So we haven't got an interview either. Oh.
Can't we pull somebody in?
What now?
Yeah, can't...
Well, that's a very interesting
thing. Get on the phone, Ricky Nixon.
No, hang on. It's a very interesting thing you say. Could we pull someone in? This could be someone ringing in now, Don, to say we could have pulled in this man because John Locco put us in touch with this man, and I said, well, we can't speak to this. Is have you heard of Wade Northhausen?
Yeah, he's a farmer.
He is, and he is absolutely absolutely preoccupied with the fact that farming and that and the Darling Basin, and he said he could ring in, we could speak
to
him.
Why don't you get him? Because that's up my alley, because I travel through that Darling Basin. It's the most unutilised piece of Australia.
Well, hang on a minute, Don. John Locko said, did you want to speak to him today? And I said, no, we're speaking to Asim Malhotra.
What's John Locko's job in this podcast?
He finds talent
for us. He's a procurer.
He's an enabler, Don.
Enabler.
Seeing as you do bugger all, and I try and find
people.
No, I've
given up trying to help
you. That's right, you do nothing. Yeah. Asim Malhotra can't come in because he's ill, and he said, did we want to speak to Wade Northouse? And I said, well, we'd love to, but we can't today because we're speaking to Asim. And bugger me, Dad, we're not speaking to Asim, but it's a bit late now to ring Wade Northouse.
Why? He might want to chat.
Because you have no prep.
He's probably finished milking the cows.
No, hang on. What?
He's probably finished milking the cows. He's been up since four.
They're the three people who aren't coming in. Now, Don. Seeing as we're not being directed by Phoebe and Dr. Ben and anyone else, what we'll do first of all.
I'd like to give a plug.
I don't know when to start all this. What?
Do you mind? Yeah. Now, the local paper is a coloured ad.
Coloured?
A coloured ad. Could you believe this? A quarter page ad. Footy Feast panel show. Rosebud Hotel.
Yeah.
Sam Newman pictured.
Yeah.
You can have, and there's varying prices, so it costs you about $160 a seat if you want to have a photo. A photo package. You're offering photo packages.
I'm not offering anything, Don.
What are you doing?
I was asked, I presume, when is it?
When
is it?
Well, I'm looking. It says Rosebud Hotel. What's the date? That is a very, very good point.
All I'll do is I'll look up my diary. Because,
thank you, because I don't know the date's on this ad.
I was what? It's not.
I don't think the date is on this.
Well, go on.
Go
quickly.
On. Tell me the date. Well, because here it is. Sorry. The writing.
When is it?
13th of July. Thursday the 13th of July, you're performing at the Rosebud Hotel.
Hang on a minute.
You're taking Isaac Appel to play the piano?
13th of July.
Thursday. Yeah,
that's with Ricky Nixon.
Okay, well.
Is that what it says?
Well, it doesn't say Ricky Nixon. Is he on the panel?
I thought he was because I've got here Rosebud, Ricky Nixon.
Yeah, and you're doing a show. And
yeah, that's right.
You're going to do your singing, you know, the Michael Bublé type Frank Sinatra singing? Your pianist?
I just speak about topical
Isaac
things
Appel.
Of interest. Mainly, most of them are about you.
You're entertaining.
So
you've got an entertainer.
Don't say I'm asking for photos and charging. I'm not doing any of that. That's
the
people
Ricky's
who run
doing
that.
Did you realise Ricky's doing it?
Doing
you pay
what?
More to have a photo with you.
Don. So
hang on, I'll tell you the prices too. This is not
So we're just doing some shout outs before I get on to some. I'd love to. I just can't wait to get onto these things, but I will. So I was asked, Don. I was asked to. I'll start this now. I was asked to have my portrait painted.
$120 a photo with you. Did you realise that?
No, I just told you. I just
told
you.
You're charging $120 to you.
I'm not charging anything.
Photo taken with Sam Newman, $120.
Okay.
Holy bloody jeez.
Hey, Don, that's if the people who are organising want to do that to, for whatever reason.
I hope you're getting paid.
Wait.
Are you being paid?
No, I do all these things
for charity.
You're
terrific.
Don. So I was asked to have my portrait painted by a man who in his studio, he goes round, Fiona Byrne told me this, he goes round on a skateboard. He while you are sitting there, he paints you while he's on a skateboard going round his studio. He likes to... No, mate, this is true. And
you know he's a nutter.
Hmm?
You know he's a nutter.
No, he's done quite a few
associated
of them.
With the
and
nuts.
I was asked to do it, and I saw his address, and this is listen to this. His address is for Docklands Court, whatever it is, and it had NARM, NARARM.
Yeah, you know where that is, don't
Hang
you?
Hang on, Don. And I thought, where the bloody hell's NARM? And I look it up.
Yeah.
Do you know what NARM
yeah.
is?
Yeah.
It's Melbourne. The Aboriginal word for Melbourne.
Yeah.
Well, I rang him. I tried to contact him. I said, mate, when you send me the proper address of where I live, I do not live in Nam, I live in Melbourne. When you send me the proper address, I'll turn up. And this is what's happening, Don. Now I'm just going to push on with this now. So I'm not going to have my photo portrait painted in Nam. It'll be in Melbourne. That's where I live in Melbourne. If you want to say you live in Nam, you say wherever you want to live. So then we get on to how long, can I ask you this, Don, how long is the Indigenous round of football going on? Is it an Indigenous month?
Well, I was surprised because I tuned in on the weekend to watch a bit of football. Yep. I couldn't believe it was on again. I thought it was the week before the Doug Nicholls round.
So this is my next point. I don't watch the football, but I've seen pictures of the jumpers, which reflect nothing of any club colours that I have been brought up with. So I presume they're wearing Indigenous patterns on their jumpers to promote Indigenous football, are they?
Yep.
How long is that going on for a start? And also, what about the names of the sides? I played for Geelong, and Geelong, when it first started 150 years ago, was called Geelong. Why is it called some other name?
I know.
In reference to what?
I know.
Why are we using the Indigenous names of football clubs that were never, ever called that? So that's that. And then... If the AFL want to dissuade people from going to the football, they should stop trotting out Auntie Joy, who has become the most boring, tedious charade of the nonsense that we have to put up with in the name of what? I have no idea. I'm happy if we go out and we say, at the start of anything you like, we pay our respects to the elders past and present. Just a simple sentence. But now it's become an off-Broadway production, all this crap. We have smoking ceremonies. We hand over boomerangs. We do dances. We have Auntie Joy. Who appointed Auntie Joy to bore the shit out of us, speaking about things, browbeating us about where we came from, what we owe, who we owe, why we owe? It is, and the AFL, here's the thing, Don. Always worry about people who accuse you of doing something because they do it in spades themselves. The AFL are in more trouble than the most unworthy person to ever lead an organisation in Australian sport, probably the man who runs the AFL, has now got to bat back. He's now got to push back on an inquest into
racial
vilification. This is the man. This is the man who fell. Couldn't help himself, rushed to accuse us of vilification, and is it guilty in spades himself of
being... No, hang on. He just inherited what happened at Hawthorn. Hawthorn handballed the problem to the AFL integrity, so they had to take it up. So he's just reactionary.
Yes, he reacts rather than being proactive.
It wasn't started by the AFL.
The umbrella organisation is the AFL who oversees the clubs.
You've got to go to the root cause of it, and it started at Hawthorn.
I know it started at Hawthorn.
And the guy's name is Ian Silk. Rita Panahi wrote a story last week.
I know it started at Hawthorn, but the buck stops with the people who sit in the top office.
You've got to get to the root cause of it.
It's been going on for 8 months that person might have decided we'll step in and see if we can nip it in the bud, if you like, or we'll try and bring it to a climax rather than go on and trash Fagan and Clarkson's reputation, who I see have nothing, they have nothing to answer. Did you see that?
I saw all that, but that was evident right from the start because the people won't come forward. Right. Now they're going to Human Rights Commission.
So why wouldn't the man who runs the AFL realise this? They won't come forward and tried to bring it to a climax before he is embroiled in the human...
Well, he's got to be seen.
seen to be doing something, and they realise.
Not seen to be. How about he does something?
Well, he's done
singling
something
out
now.
People like you and me for having a legitimate discussion about Nicky Winmar.
Yeah, I know. How that was shitty. That was shitty.
It is. It is. And the other thing he is apologising for his own ineptness supremacy.
We need Fiona here just to keep you in line.
So that's Auntie Joy. Why we trot that woman out or anyone out is beyond me. I'm going to a function tonight and I said, will there be a Welcome to Country? They said, you can betcha there will be because it's at the National Art Gallery or the National Gallery of Victoria. I said, well, let us know when it's over and I'll turn up. Now have a listen to this. Now, this is not a commentary on Adam Goods per se, right? So please don't think it is. Basil Sellers. The feigned indignation of tripping over themselves.
I know that name.
Basil Sellers unveiled a statue of Adam Goods in Sydney.
Come on.
Isn't he president of Sydney or something?
No, not Basil Sellers.
Well, I think he is.
Andrew Pridham, isn't
it? I think he... he was at the unveiling of a statue of Adam Goods.
Yes.
So this is not about Adam Goods per se, but Sellers said, we collectively owe him so much. What does the Sydney Swans owe Adam Goods other than the fact he was a fine footballer? What else do they owe him?
The interesting thing on that was, and I'm going to butt in here, because they had an overlay when I saw that. I didn't see Basil Sellers, but I saw the unveiling of the statue.
Yep.
And they overplayed Adam Goods doing the war dance against West Coast. Just listen? Dennis Cometti was a commentator. And Dennis Cometti, quote unquote, said, probably that's not a good thing to do. And that right at the time that he did it, probably not a good thing to do.
Don, you are spot on.
That's Dennis Cometti.
Don, you are spot on because of it. So do you know what the statue depicts? It depicts him throwing a spear apropos to the Carlton cheer squad in 2015. That's what it depicts, and that's how the booing started of Adam's Goods, because the Carlton cheer squad got the brace and bits because they were 10 goals up, the Swans playing Carlton, and he pretended to throw a spear at them and they started booing him. That's why they booed him, and they're actually drawing attention to it by the... you can't make this stuff up. They are so dumb. They are so stupid. And if you're going to unveil a statue of Adam Goods, and he was a fine footballer, I suppose we'll put it alongside the great Swans players of Skilton and Lockett and Williams and Goldsmith and Nash and Pratt and all the other great players that have played for the Swans, the Swans would owe them so much. Other than he was a great footballer, they owe Adam Goods nothing. But why trot out this glib, trite bullshit? It goes on and on. So the people accuse you of doing things are guilty of it themselves, and this gets back to the man who runs the pussycat who runs the competition. Fagan and Clarkson have no finding against them, and this went on. They've trashed their reputation.
Now, hang on. Have you thought about the ramifications of this? I might have mentioned it last week.
My word, I have.
Is there grounds?
Oh, do you reckon?
For defamation,
of course.
And who would the defamation be taken against?
People who have slagged him in the press.
Hang on. Who released the story?
Who did?
The ABC.
Yeah.
And could this be another case where we, as taxpayers, are paying a defamation suit? You got Brittany Higgins. How much did that one cost? I know it wasn't an ABC, but it was a government payout, I think $2 to $3 million, apparently, wasn't it? Do you remember that?
I don't know how much it was, but I'd like
to know all the defamation cases that the ABC get. It comes out of our pocket, our taxes.
Could you tell me this, Don? I was up visiting someone in hospital on the corner of at the Peter MacCallum. I was visiting someone in hospital who is seriously ill. Yeah. And on the corner of Royal Parade and Flemington Road, that's where the intersection, there is a huge Aboriginal flag flying.
You mean at the top of Bourke Street?
Well, where the hospitals are.
Yeah, big roundabout.
There is a huge Aboriginal flag flying.
There used to be an Australian flag.
Ah, beautifully said.
What do you mean?
That used
to
be.
I haven't been there for years,
well,
but when
you.
I went past it last time, which is maybe 20, 30 years ago, there was an Australian flag there.
That's what I'm saying. It used to be an Australian flag. You know, we are Australian. Now it's an Aboriginal flag. I don't know how long it's been there or how long.
That's a council thing, isn't it? And they're
made up. I don't give a fuck what it is, Don. What in the hell? Why have we got an Aboriginal flag flying? Where is the Australian flag? We are Australians. And this is why this nonsense about The Voice, please, when you get a chance to vote, please vote no for The Voice. It's a divisive document.
Oh, no, you shouldn't say that.
I'm saying it.
No, you shouldn't say that. What I'm shitty about The
you
Voice
don't know
is
what it
where...
Is.
Exactly.
That's right. That's why you shouldn't vote
why?
For it.
Where do I find out about The Voice? If somebody could tell me, I'd really appreciate it.
So people fall over themselves to pretend they're being virtuous. Even the Formula One Grand Prix, they've dispensed with. Remember they used to stand around and join hands for Black Lives Matter? Now they've dispensed with that because they've suddenly realised Black Lives Matter is a domestic terror organisation and it wasn't.
What's
even...
What's that got to do with the Grand Prix?
Well, because they've... Lewis Hamilton, who's a black...
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Well, he suggested that all the Formula One drivers at the start of every Grand Prix last year stand around and hold hands and pay homage to BLM. And now they've realised just what BLM is, so they've dispensed with that. So the opportunistic nonsense of people like... Of people like Auntie Joy browbeating us every single function.
I've got to take on Fiona's role here.
So
come on, new topic.
No, I would. Well,
you're saying the same old thing.
Well, because Don, it keeps going and going, and we must push back on all this nonsense. It's just crap. So how long? So I understand the sensitive nature of this for timid employers, but notwithstanding the fact that she's a woman, how long can Caroline Wilson stay employed?
Jeez, here's another pet one.
Well,
why?
Don, this goes on and on.
What has she done now?
She's now had to apologise for misrepresenting what Matthew Cripps did. Is that his name? She said that he didn't stay with his wife up in Sydney at a function and... didn't stay with her family at the hotel, insinuating, and they've had to. She's had to apologise for that.
Or the team.
She's had to apologise for insinuating about Matthew Cripps not staying with his family. She's apologised for that.
What's that got to do with football?
Because there was a commentary on what he was doing up in Sydney when they went up to play the Swans. That's everything to do with football. Just like calling Tom Stewart what he did at Geelong a dog act.
What did he do?
He bumped someone and she said it was a dog act.
When?
2 weeks ago it happened. But... If you said that something that she did was a dog act, you'd have the police here. You'd be put in jail for. So that's that. And then, so how many chances can this person have? It was inaccurate about the quarantine breach in the finals in Perth. She wrote something about that. She wrote she had an award rescinded for the training saga in the Crows training saga some years ago. She had an award rescinded for that because they found out it was inaccurate. She was part of a sexist rant against Beverly O'Connor at a function I was at. This is the woman who complained about me dressing up a mannequin in her likeness, said it was sexist.
I think that was... you shouldn't have done that.
It was parody and satire, Don.
I think it's a bit pointed.
Of course it was. Why would she be the only person we can't take the piss out of? Beverly O'Connor was reduced to tears and left the function. Who had to console her? Eddie Maguire and myself went out and said, oh, just don't worry about it. This is Carolyn Wilson, part of this. And then she character assassinated everyone at the Essendon Football Club during the drug saga, so much so that James Heard was on suicide watch at some stage. But she went them. And then finally, Don, the pièce de résistance, when she mocked disabled sport, saying that it
Where
wasn't...
Where did she do that?
On the ABC.
Where? On their website?
What?
Is it on their website?
I've got it on... I'll show it to you. They clambered to have it taken down.
They... What?
It was clambered to have it. It's very hard to find, but I'll show it to you on my phone here. People send me this stuff, but I knew it anyhow. Mocked disabled sport, saying it wasn't really sport and people only go to watch them fall over or muck up. How many chances can you get? I know it's hard to sack someone who's a woman because, I mean, that opens up a whole new Pandora box. Honestly and truly, why people let let people get away with things? How many chances can you have? But anyhow, they'll just keep doing it because no one will have the guts to say, "Hey, enough's enough." You've got to have some credibility every now and again in some of the things that you say or write. Fair dinkum. So you say we speak about the same old things.
No, you do.
I speak about the same old things because they keep coming.
Well, it's a problem with Asperger's.
I wouldn't have mentioned this.
As long as people realise you've got a form of Asperger's.
I wouldn't have mentioned this about Wilson, except another thing came up about Matthew Cripps. It was in the papers. He had to apologise.
If you're out there as a reporter, you will make mistakes, though. Really.
Okay, well, I've read six of them out. How many chances would you get? How many chances would you like to get?
You try and check your source. Anyway,
what's that? You try and check your sources. You would try and check your sources as opposed to just assuming that some of the things you say might be right and finding out that most of them aren't. So here's some shout outs. Now, have you got any
Shout outs? Are we doing this for first or second?
Well, Don,
first
last
or second
week,
segment.
Phoebe said, why don't we get on to some lighthearted topics? Because I keep repeating the same old things.
Oh, she's picked you up on it.
No, I'm agreeing with you, Don. I repeat certainly the same old things because suddenly McLaughlin has been implicated with a human rights thing from the AFL. That's the man that cited us for a vilification.
You mentioned it twice.
That's right. Don.
In the day.
So I wasn't going to mention it, but... out it comes in the news today, so we mention it. I wasn't going to mention Wilson. Out it comes in the news today that she had to apologise. I wouldn't mention any of these things, but they keep rearing their ugly heads. The people who accuse you of doing things, you find do them themselves and look, find solace
find
and retribution in the fact that they try and hide behind what they do.
I agree with that one.
Righto, so that's the only reason I bring it up. That's the only reason I bring it up. So Phoebe last week said, why don't we get off these topics and do lighthearted stuff? And the girls, I can say girls because we're boys, the girls, Sue Stanley and Phoebe, they chatted
about...
Are you
sure they're girls?
Hmm?
They've got the what chromosome?
Double X.
Have they?
Good. Two X chromosomes.
You sure it's that?
I haven't. As someone said, I'm not a gynecologist, but I'm willing to look.
You should check your sources and check things out before you say things.
Well, I'm taking on face value the fact that they say they're women.
Right.
If they're not women, I'm probably sure they'd give me different pronouns, but
would
I think
they?
They're very happy me calling them she and her, both of them. If they didn't, it'd be they and thy and thou and thee.
Right. Okay.
So I'm sure they've got two X chromosomes. Right. When I say I'm sure... As I said, I know I'm not a gynecologist, but as someone said, but I'm willing to look if you want a third opinion. So Don, they had a very good, lively chat about the boy, the coach of Richmond. What's his name?
Did you see him?
What's his name?
Damien Hardwick.
Oh, sorry, Damien, but just had a mental block there. They said about
But did you see the photograph in the... paper over the weekend. He's at home with his dog on the couch smiling. I thought he was under a lot of pressure.
I didn't see the photo.
I just we mentioned it last week, but
so I believe your attitude is, Don, if you're appointed to a job,
you do it.
You should stick out the contract.
You're asking athletes or your charges to be mentally strong.
Yes,
you're thrown a few grenades and boomerangs and whatever else you'd like to say in the position you hold. You've got to withstand the pressure.
And you should see out the contract.
I think you're being a hit. Yes, I think you're being a little hypocritical. I mean, I know we've all got different pressures.
So the girls, we had great reaction to the girls chatting about things and us.
Where from?
From the social platforms that get in contact with us. Okay. And they said it was good that we sat back and let them do it, because that's what we do. Yeah. And Ivan, fair dinkum. How well is Ivan going? This is what someone said. Someone said that they want a... I'll just get it up while I'm trying to fucking find it. Where is it? Ivan. Here he is. Ivan. This was on the wires. This is from a bloke called Michael Lowe. Sam, I'm ordering the signed You Cannot Be Serious hat soon. I would love to get Ivan's signature on there also. If Mick Christian... And then someone said that they thought, in another shout-out, they said, this is a shout-out from Michael Christian Menswear sent this in, Jason Bell from Lara, old dinger. You may know Jackson Bell? Jackson Bell, it is. Friends call him Dinger. Jackson Bell from Lara, he wants a shout-out, and he said... he wants a hat, and he said, this is what he said, Ivan is bloody good value to the show. Can you believe that? How many, if he got paid by the word, he'd be living at the YMCA, Ivan. He sits there, and we love having him in, but Dinger Bell said that Ivan is good value for the show, and they want his signature. I can just sign Ivan and put it on a cap, because it's not even his name. That's what they said. You Cannot Be Serious is a show run by Don Scott, Sam Newman and Ivan Milat. Ivan Milat is a touring comedian. That's what they said on the Google machine. Can you believe it? So, Don...
Yes,
I'm just trying to, seeing as we've only got two segments today, you're going to have to give us a lot of stuff for part two.
That's right. I'm just firing up. You've had your say. We'll listen to what I've got to say.
Go on, give us.
I'll do shout outs in the second episode.
I've got some very important shout outs.
Okay, go.
I'll give
shout outs in the second.
Kathy
who?
Just shout out. I said, Kathy wanted a shout out. I saw this person.
What does Kathy do?
I don't know. She
Where'd
said,
you see her?
She came up and I saw her and she said, I love the podcast. Oh, and great. I said, what's your name? She said, Kathy.
Yeah.
And then she was with someone called Grant.
Grant?
Okay. Kathy and Grant. They're an item.
Why?
They just didn't appear to be as though they were an item. They were just mutual friends. And then I was speaking to Kathy and Grant.
Right.
And then someone else joined them. They must have been going somewhere. Yeah. Someone called Anne. And so
where were you?
I was in a street in
where?
I was in Toorak Road.
And so these people live in Toorak or?
I don't know. But I was in Toorak Road for a reason.
What were you doing down there?
Does it matter what
I
was
doing? It does, because this might put the whole thing into context.
Stop putting anything into context. I saw them as I was going to a... I was going into a shop, and I saw...
What shop was it? Trevor West?
Trevor West.
Well, that's the menswear shop on the corner. Is it still there?
Trevor West. Do you know who used to run that? Ken
Hales.
And I said...
He was
the footy.
Now, listen, I was in the rag trade back then, and Ken Hales was probably one of the smartest buyers in Melbourne when he was operating.
I used to buy my clothes from him.
When he was operating Trevor West, very, very good operator,
and I was
Ken
told
Hales.
He died. And I was told that. And I said on the footy show, because they had a picture of me cuffing Bill Barrett while he was on his knees. I punched him while he was on his knees.
That was a brave act. I remember that.
And they keep bringing it up. It was just a reflex action. I said, Ken Hales was the runner, I think. I said, the late Ken Hales. And Ken rang me up. He said, this is Ken Hales. I said, is it? I said, I'm sorry that I...
He was Tony Jewell's runner. Oh.
Well, I think he... Anyhow.
I don't think he was allowed to
be
Tony Jewell's
runner. I'm sure
Jewell's
Ken's still alive, and we're sending out...
He's down at Sorrento,
I think. He is. Anyhow, that's got nothing to do.
Sue. I think that was one of his wives. Sue.
One of his wives. I think so. It was too. Sue is exactly right, Don. And I was. This got nothing to do with the menswear shop. What's it called? Trevor West. I saw.
He had a shop called One Up, I think, in Burke Road as well.
I saw Kathy. Kathy.
Oh, with Ken Hire. Now, hang on.
I said. You gone on to a menswear shop. I said, I saw Kathy, Grant and Anne.
Right.
And I said, I'll give you a shout out. They said they listened to the podcast.
But did they want a shout out? That's more to the point.
I just said, I will give you a shout out.
Okay.
I just said...
So they've got no... They might be embarrassed that you...
Well, why would they be embarrassed? They just... Why would Dinger Bell from...
Well, he's probably an extrovert, Dinger.
Well, why would he be embarrassed?
Well, he's an extrovert, just like you.
Do you remember I said Dr. Tom? I saw Dr. Tom in a when I was in a
what
a surgery giving blood the other day, and he said I listen to the podcast.
Tommy does he?
I'll give you a shout out, Dr. Tom. And I was in there again during the week, and he said, "I'm thanks for the shout out." I said, "I'll give you another one, Doc."
The intellect, it's very high. I got a few shout outs here, but for people with high intellects.
Well, Kath, Grant, and Anne have got
high, and these that I'm going to give shout outs to have got high intellects as well. We must appeal to a certain genre. Do you think
genre?
Do you think or not?
I think we're ubiquitous.
As my friend Nick Burns said, Nick, I need a bit of a help here. You're a sesquipedalian.
Oh, what's that?
I don't know. I can't pronounce it. Can you look it up?
What is it called?
Sesquipedalian.
What's it called?
A man who uses big words or something, he doesn't know what
they are. Well, ubiquitous.
No, it's not ubiquitous. He calls it sesquipedalian. A Dalian.
Ubiquitous is not a big word, Don. Corrugated wrought iron is a big word.
Corrugated wrought iron? How can you have corrugated wrought iron?
It's like saying, it's just corrugated a play on words. Iron. How do you make a fruit cordial? Do you know how to make a fruit cordial? Just speak nicely to it. Now, Don. So
you got to trot these lines out at the Rosebud Hotel.
So Kath, Grant and Anne, I presume they're upper
intellects. Are they a couple or a trio?
Well, there's three.
What
of
are
them.
They?
Of course there's three. Of course they're a trio. There's three of them. They were on their way to a, I presume they're on their way to have lunch somewhere.
Oh.
And so they said, I'll give you a shout out. And Dr. Tom... And Ivan, we've done him, and Phoebe. And now, do you know what Phoebe's doing today? She's going to Jeff Kennett's man cave.
Oh.
And Jeff said, would I like to drop in? Have you been to Jeff's man cave? It's extraordinary. It's fantastic.
What's that place on the corner?
I won't say where it is.
That place on the corner?
No. In the corner? No, it's not on the corner.
On a corner?
It's not on a corner. It's in a street in Richmond.
It's on a corner.
It's not on a fucking corner.
What type of corner?
It's not on a corner. I don't think. How do you know? Have you been there?
Well, I've been to a place on the corner that he inhabits.
What is it?
Corner. An old Victorian building.
Yes, but it's not on a corner. It's in a street. Righto, anyhow,
we're two streets into
city. Now, Don.
It's called the corner.
Now, we're just going to wind this up just shortly, and we're going
to... because I've got to make a couple of calls.
So, finally, Kate Save.
Yeah, Katie. I tried ringing her. Katie. She's been overseas.
Oh, Katie.
Well, it's K-A-T-E. Kate. Kate.
K-A-T-E is Katie. It's not, you fucking idiot. If it didn't have a T, it'd be cat. Oh, jeez. The man who said that I speak big words, I just speak sort of common garden English. Katie.
Gardening.
Katie. Christ. What?
Garden English.
Common garden English.
Is there a garden English?
Yeah, that's like the bloke who was tending the botanical gardens, and the Queen was coming round to visit, and he said,
what Queen?
I've had to speak to the gardener, he said, because when he's fertilising it, he says, yeah, we're getting the shit delivered. And I said, mate, you can't use the word shit because the Queen is coming. And he said, all right. He said, I'll call it manure. He said, no, you can't call it manure. He said, soften it up a bit. He said, we've had to fertilise the whole... Yeah, and he said, did he use fertilizer?
So what did he say?
No, he said fertilizer. He said it took us 3 months to get him to stop calling it shit. Don. Finally.
Geez, I hope you've got some topics for the second segment. I've got to carry the second
what
segment,
do
I?
What about that fool of a man, Mark McGowan, the ex-premier?
Why? He's retired too.
He's retired.
Pressure.
Do you know pressure of? He finally realised how he's bought, like the bloke here.
There's no
bought
such thing
state
as
state to the knees. He's state to the knees with the COVID lockdown and the bullshit that they carried on with. That's what McGowan did. That, remember, he got that Aboriginal woman to stand beside him and talk about getting the COVID injection, vaccine, and she said, I can take a voice off because I'm not maligning her, but... She repeated parrot fashion. He got her on to speak to the Aboriginal people in the dialect that they might understand. And I can take her voice off, but it just made no sense, he said.
Why? Why didn't it make sense?
Because she just said exactly parroted him in English. I presume he got her on to speak in some
her
sort
dialect.
Of...
dialect?
The dialect.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. What's wrong with that?
Well, she didn't speak in the dialect. She just spoke... parroted what he said in English. He said...
Okay, well, at least he tried.
It didn't try at all. They shouldn't have put it to air. He said, I've got, the elder so-and-so, what's her name, and she's going to respond by speaking to her tribe and her people. And he said, I want you all to make sure that you get the vaccine. And she said... I'm not. If I take a voice off, people think I'm being racist, but I'm not. And she said, "I want you all to take the vaccine." And he said, "And make sure that you go to the hospital and get it done regularly, and make sure you go to the hospital again." And it was completely nonsensical. She didn't speak in any dialect. She just repeated it verbatim what he said. And he looked so happy with himself and pompous and arrogant that he'd done something. What a clown. What a clown. And these are the two people, that premier there and this premier here, who drove their respective states into the ground, Don, with the COVID lockdown. What have we covered today? Have you seen?
Listen, we'll just take a break now.
I tell you
and
what,
come
I'm
back
do.
With more pearls of wisdom.
I tell you what I'm going to do, Don.
Oh, what? Don't put your finger down. Don't wave it.
I'm going to wind this up, and you are going to carry segment two.
Right. Good.
And I could just tell you, someone said, "Do you know the best punishment you can mete out to someone?" Listen, think about this. Mete out, not M-E-A-T, but it's M-E-T-E. That man will say I'm using long words, but that's only a short four-letter word.
Nick Byrne.
Nick Byrne.
It's Nick Byrne.
Yeah.
He's the one. He's an avid listener.
What word is
phonetically, it's sesquipedalian.
What?
Sesquipedalian, that's phonetically. I wrote it phonetically.
Sesquick?
Well, that's not the way. I put sesquipedalian. That is you. Nick is a very,
Seth Quickdale,
very
did you
smart
mean,
individual.
Here, did you mean this? This is what it says. Seth Quickdalian is given to using long words. It's spelt. It's spelt. SESQUIPEDALIAN.
That's
given
it.
To using long words.
That's right.
Well, I don't use long words.
Well, Nick does, and he's an avid. He's listened to this podcast for 4 years since we've been going.
Well, so what
he loves it.
So that the good on Nick. So we're giving him a shout out. But what I don't use sesquipedalian.
Well, in Nick's opinion, you do
sesquipedalian words. I just you said,
and you wouldn't know that you didn't even know the meaning of it. You're supposed to be an intellectual, or you make out as an intellectual.
I didn't even know the word. No. So when I said ubiquitous, you immediately said, "Oh, Nick."
Well, that's why Nick. That's why Nick said. He said he will not know the word if you call him a sesquipedalian.
No, I'm not. I didn't know the word, Don. But when I said someone was ubiquitous, you went, oh, Nick said that you use... That's not a long word, ubiquitous. Are you familiar with the word ubiquitous?
Cannot be...
took me 3 goes to get the right button. Where is the rocket?
I was just going to say. You took the words right. Jesus. Who had that song? Meatloaf, you took the words right out of my mouth.
They should have taken the food out of his mouth. He'd be
Who?
Still alive.
Meatloaf?
Meatloaf, yeah. Now, Don.
Very good singer.
So, Don, all right, now, Don. Now, this was what they said was the best punishment you could give someone. Think about this.
Come on, wind this up. I need
just,
a break.
Now, just think about this. Rather than getting 15 lashes or being put in jail for a month, they said if you give 1 day of someone not being allowed to speak. What do you think about that?
Interesting.
They said that is that is about the best punishment you get, not allowed to speak or be spoken to.
Yeah.
Well, you can be spoken to. See if you can go through 24 hours without speaking. They said that is a very good punishment for someone. I don't know why I said that, but you think about it, Don. You
it is making me think. Righto.
All right. Well, so this is the end of part one, and Don's coming back, and he's going to take
carry
over part two.
Carry,
and I'm going to sit back like I did with Phoebe and Sue Stanley, and he's going to carry the rest of it.
Cannot be...
Oh.